I want to ask you to remember First Baptist Church of Huntington in prayer this morning. Maybe you have a church that you would like for us also to remember in prayer. And you have mentioned that church now. Excuse me?
Eagle's Nest.
Oh, Eagle's Nest Baptist Church in Florida. They're nice and warm this morning. Anyone else? Okay. You say Auburn? Okay, great. And we certainly want to remember to pray for Columbia City, do we not? If I could remember the name of the church, I'd tell you. That's a cue you're supposed to tell me. New Life? Oh! Okay, you all know now that the name of the church in Columbia City is New Life. Don't let me be embarrassed like that again. Okay. Any other church? Now, any church, that would be Baptist. All right, then let's pray. Father, to come before you with the awareness that there's nothing impossible with you, not anything. It is our prayer with a heart that is filled with love for Jesus and his church, that you will pour out mightily your power and your strength on these churches that we have mentioned today. Now, we know that only you can do anything for them, but we know you can do everything for them. And then we would continue to pray, Father, asking you that you today would fill this very place with the person of the Holy Spirit of the living God, and that he might minister to us, even as Christ Jesus said that he would, that when he sent him here, he would teach us, he would lead us, he would empower us, he would do all that we needed to do in us and through us to give Christ glory and to build up his church. We'll expect that from you today now as we worship together in your word. Amen. And thank you, and I hope we get in the habit of doing that. In Luke's gospel, there's a story in chapter 10. And there's a lot of debate about a parable or a real event. A parable is a truth that projects, or a story that projects great truth. And Jesus tells one, he said, there was a certain man. I tried to figure this man out a long time ago and never did. By the way, I was sitting in my bow hunting stand west of here, just the other side of the reservoir, and I always carry my little Bible right here in my patch pocket on my coveralls, my insulated coveralls, and I was out there bow hunting and sitting there just reading my Bible, and I read this story, and then I got to thinking about this story. And I think there's some real revelation here for us that we need to take a good look at. In fact, he says here, there was a man. What do you know about this guy? Was he 70 or 17? Was he fat or skinny or pleasantly plump? Was he bald-headed? They have a lot of hair. I don't know what he looked like, but I think I know his name. I believe his name is Average Joe. Now, well, I don't know whether I want to say this or not. In this day and time in which we live, it might have been Average Jane. Now, don't throw hymn books at me yet, okay? So, we don't know what he looks like, don't know a lot about him. We don't know if he's real rich or real poor, or just kind of, medium rich. We just don't know. But I do know one thing about him. Dude's pretty dumb. Did you read that? Did you read that where it's pretty dumb? You see, this man is traveling all by himself. And he doesn't have to get an inch out of Jerusalem till he's in danger of traveling by himself. The mode in that day and time was this, that you traveled in a company. And if you had anything at all, you hope it's safe. So he's not very smart, or he'd be traveling in a company. That's always the way they did it, just for self-preservation and for protection. Now, let's go on with the story. I'll get the light just right here. And he moved out of the Bible. I shouldn't have talked about him like I did, should I? Now he jumped right off. No, he didn't. Anyway, a certain man, when challenged, who's my neighbor, you know, a smart little dude, said, well, who's my neighbor? That's the best way in the world to get out. You know, throw somebody on the defense. Make them answer. Don't you answer. You know, well, Jesus tells this story. Watch. He says, he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him. I mean, they even wanted his clothes and took them and went off, leaving him half dead. This guy now has found himself in a bad way, in a bad shape. Have you been there? You ever got into stuff you shouldn't have got into? And found yourself left in a condition you didn't want to be left in? Well, he found himself in a bad shape. And the emphasis on this story is, by the way, is helping the dude. Isn't it? Helping him. Along comes a priest. Well, which one did they mention first? Both of them come down that way. A certain priest was going down. By the way, when you kind of look at this, and Jesus talks about a certain man and a certain priest, you've got a good foundation on which to say, well, this is not a parable. This really happened. But the truth remains whether it's a parable or not. And a certain priest comes by. Hard-hearted dude, wasn't he? I mean, here's this poor guy. He's laying there in a ditch. Man, he's bleeding. And you remember they took his clothes. That's as far as we'll go with that. But he's bleeding, he's bruised, he's hurting, and are you aware that this priest can't do anything for him because of his religion? How religious are you? Who ran into the church? They were really wanting in, weren't they? Just how religious, are you so religious it gets in your way of serving Jesus? This guy was. For you see, if he had stopped, and this guy's bleeding, and if he had stopped, and if he had got any of that guy's blood on him, just a little, he's got to spend 7 days purifying himself, getting cleaned up again spiritually because he had blood on him. Well, geez, he may have been heading off down to First Baptist Church, Jericho, to preach a sermon. Let's go home and wake up again. How about that? Okay. Just try a little harder to stay with me. How's that? Okay. So, he knows he's there, but he passes way over here. And how careful are you about your religion anyway? I'm afraid when we get to the judgment of the Lord Jesus, there's going to be a lot of things getting our way from feeling real comfortable there. Well, he goes on down the way, and along comes a Levite. Now, this guy has got some rank on the first guy. But you know what? He does the same thing. There is a point that's totally, absolutely unrelated to this sermon in any way, but I want to make a point. Because I may not have an opportunity to make this point again. There are no ranks. We were at Fort Knox, or right at the front door of Fort Knox, and it was really, really humorous, you know. A lieutenant colonel would come in. Oh, man, we all had to, you know. I see them just flocking to him. One day a general came in. I'd invited him. I played golf with him, so I invited him. You know, on purpose, I didn't beat him playing golf so he'd come to church when I invited him. I can see you guys are not golfers. Okay. Anyway, he came, and boy, everybody was just, oh. Now, those recruits that just came in, new recruits, we didn't flock all over them. We didn't rub all over them. But listen, in Christianity, there's no rank and file. Don't you ever put the preacher up here. Don't you ever put deacons on a level up here above. In fact, those two groups, the preachers, Randy, B, yep, B, this preacher, we are the lowest, aren't we? Doesn't all of those positions signify servitude? We're servants. We're servants. By the way, you may be up the ladder a little higher than me, but guess what? You're a servant too. So, the Levite, he goes on. And this poor dude is still in the ditch. Question, class. I wonder how many people in Huntington are left in the ditch. Wounded, bleeding, hurting, bruised. And nobody's reaching out to put their arms around them, to give them a hand. Well, preacher, I wouldn't. I would help them. Amen? That's bad. We would help them. Amen? All right, you're getting better. Now, then here comes a here comes another dude. Now you remember I said a minute ago there were no, this rank and file thing don't work. Well, it does right now. Huh? This guy is a Gentile. He's from Samaria. I mean, he's about as bad as you can get. He just don't act like it. And he looks over there. Ooh, that dude's hurting. Somebody ought to help him. Have you seen any people like that around Huntington or in Huntington County? Somebody that just needed someone to help him? Now, Brother Scott and that crew that feeds those people down there that might not have a thing to eat if they didn't get it there, helping them. That's what we're supposed to do. In fact, we ought to be so lined up working with and for Brother Scott in the food ministry that he'd have to run half of us or more off. Scott's going to say amen big and loud right now every night. You see, there are people hurting. Keep that in your mind. We'll come back to it in just a, well, wait a minute, in a few minutes, okay? Now, along comes this old boy, and he says, golly, somebody ought to do something for him. Now, He takes out his own oil, he takes out his own wine, he takes his own cloth, and he bandages up this guy's wounds. He does everything he can do for him, and then he puts him on his donkey, and he takes him to a Motel 6, maybe Super 8. I don't think it was Holiday Inn Express. But he takes him to a motel, he rents a room, and he cleans him up real good, gives him some clothes, and ministers to his need. And does a good job. Now, when I tell you who this guy is, you'll know he did a good job, okay? Now, remember I was studying on this when I was out in a deer stand, and suddenly I got to thinking, you know, I've studied about this guy somewhere in the Bible. And I started just, you know, doing one of these numbers. Don't you love it when God sort of gets a hold of you, that Holy Spirit that he left with you starts teaching you, and you, boy, you start looking, and here it is, and here it is, and here it is, and that says here it is. You, like, you know, Luke 4, and Isaiah, was it 49? Listen. He, now that's God, he has sent me. When did he send him? Well, you see, I believe that this is Jesus. And I believe before the foundations of the world was laid, every time God saw you with a hurt, he sent the answer to it. Every time God saw you in need, he sent the supply for it. I believe that. Even before the foundations were laid, Christ Jesus was offered for your sins. Well, amen. Well, anyway, let's go on. Maybe something will hit you here in a minute. Okay. He stayed there with him. He took care of him. And in Luke 4, he says, he has sent me to bind up the wounded, to take care of, heal up the brokenhearted. Watch. To set at liberty those that are enslaved. Would you all like to get mad at me today? I'd like to get you going some way or another. Would you like to get mad at me? Okay, I'll just do it. Those of you who are slaves to nicotine. Oh, you don't think that's a deal? Listen. Those of you who are enslaved to marijuana. Well, now, preacher, that's not too bad. They're saying it's good for medicine now. Well, all right, let's skip that. Let's just go to heroin. Let's go to crack cocaine. You see, Jesus came to deliver from slavery. Anything that has you enslaved, Jesus can take care of it. The Word of God says there's nothing too hard for God, that there's nothing impossible for God. Now, I really picked up on this being the Lord Jesus when I got to the next part. And the day came that this Good Samaritan was going to go on his way. Randy, would you go get me some water, please? I should have brought it with me. Okay, but I didn't, so that don't help me any. Now, when you get to that part where the Good Samaritan says, look, I'm going away. Now, here I want to pay the bill. I don't want to owe Motel 6 anything. I'll pay the bill. Now, I'm going to come back through here. And When I do, if I owe you anything, I'll pay it. If there's anything owing, I'll pay you. But in the meantime, while I'm going away, what I want you to do is you do just, hey, thank you. Just twice you call it. You're really bucking for a deacon, aren't you? Oh, that's better. I'm not near as dry as I was a minute ago. So now, when I come back, if I'm owing anything, I'll take care of that. Who do you know besides Jesus who promised that? Huh? Who do you know that besides Jesus that there's not anything too hard to do? The Bible says that. Nothing. But here's the key. In the meantime, what I'm doing, I want you to do for this guy. Now, can I add to that a little bit without doing too bad? And anyone else that has a great need, and you can take care of it. Now, I would suppose, like myself, you had always thought you wanted to be the Good Samaritan. You can't. Let me ask you, who can you heal? Who can you release from bondage? Whose brokenheartedness can you take care of? Do you know the only thing that helps a brokenhearted person? The Word of God. The Word of God. We can share the Word of God. We can share the oil of healing as Jesus did. Now watch. I want to bring this down. I hope you understand to get this. Please try. Okay, listen. When that Good Samaritan said to that innkeeper, I'm trusting you to take care of him. Got it? Now it's up to you to do what I've been doing. You take care of him. Oh, listen. I just really wonder how many people in Huntington the Lord Jesus expects us to take care of. By the way, let me throw in something absolutely and totally free, okay? If you have a need, I'm going to promise you that New Life Baptist Church will take care of it if you'll bring it to us. Say amen. I believe that. I believe that's our responsibility. I believe that's our assigned task in ministry. And by the way, there's not many. We visited a church one time, and I'll give you this free. I won't charge you for it. We visited a church, and the pastor reached under one of those old big old-timey pulpits, you know, and he reached under and brought out a basket bigger than this one. And you could just see the money. It was just running over with money. Oh, wow. And he said, all right. Now, if any of you have a need, you just come on up here and take what you need, count it out of this basket, and take it with you. But you're going to tell us what your need is. We can't pray for you. We can't help supply that need if you don't tell us. I thought, well, there goes all of that money. But you know what? Nobody came forward. I asked the pastor later. I said, does anybody ever come? He said, yes. We've had people come and empty the basket. Now, you don't think, yes. By the way, isn't it our privilege Isn't it our privilege to reach out to people who are hurting, who are broken, who are in need, who are wounded? Isn't it our privilege to help them? You see, I think this. I think that the reason the world doesn't count the church as much is because the church does not appear much to the world. So, the Good Samaritan says, I trust you. I trust you to take care of him. Now I want to ask you, said he, I want to ask you to trust me. I've been contrary and ornery today, so let me just go one step further. Can he? Can he trust you? Can the Lord Jesus trust New Life Church? I'm not going to let it go. I did this once before and had to duck a song, but anyway, I'm just not going to let it go. I want you, if you really believe the Lord Jesus can trust you, to nod your head like this. Well, there's three of you. I feel for you. If Jesus can't trust you, who can? Well, I need a better response. If the Lord Jesus can really trust you, raise your hand. Well, that's better. I guess if I ask jump up and down and clap, well, that might be going a little too far. Okay? I'm just going to suppose that every one of you Jesus can trust. You know, one day you say, Jesus, please save me. Take care of my sins. Blot them out with your blood. Put me on my way to heaven where I'll spend eternity. And guess what he did? Right? Now, it always amazed me. I think probably the most valuable thing I have is my soul. It's going to spend eternity in heaven, right? Now, we're going to close real quick. Be ready for us to close real quick, okay? He can trust us. Let's just declare that. He can trust us. Come on. Matthew 23:23. Anybody here know what that says? You tithe of mint and anise and cumin. That's your money values. Your paycheck, all your gifts, you tithe. And you leave off the weightier matters, which is love and mercy and hope. These you ought to do and not leave the other undone. The smallest trivia that I can think of for the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to go away now. You be sure that when you go away today, you tell someone, that preacher preached a whole sermon on money. Because, you see, I think it's very, very, very important that the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus, could look at us and trust us. He said, now, I want you, I'm going to trust you to take care of this guy in my absence, and I want you to trust me. I'm going to take care of the bill. Let me make a declaration right here. I believe this with all my heart, that when the church, any church that calls himself Christian, any church that takes Jesus seriously and does exactly what Jesus wants them to do, he's going to bless. You can say amen again if you want to. Okay, now. Listen. All Jesus ever asked us to do was trust him. Right? You see, he told you one day John 3:16, God loved you so much He gave His only Son Jesus for you, that if you'd only trust in Him, believe in Him, you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. God didn't send Him in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Jesus is saved, not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You know, and there in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, we have so much proof. How can we do anything but believe it? For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are, listen, we are God's workmanship. We are created where? In Christ Jesus. This wasn't you until Jesus saved you. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained we should walk in them. And then He made it the simplest of all. Romans 10. Yes, beginning, I think, about verse 11 or 12. What saith it? The Word is near you. That's the Bible. God's Word. The Word of Jesus Christ. The Word is now you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That's the Word that we, of faith that we preach. Listen, that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit trusted you. Now, will you trust them? This is the whole matter. Not them trusting you. They do. This is the whole matter. Here's where we come down to. This is the very tip of the funnel. I have a question for you. Do you just suppose that in Huntington, Indiana, and in the county surrounding this town, there are people who are beat up, bruised, enslaved, captured? Huh? Question number two. Yeah, question number two. Do you think Jesus wants to bring them here? Can He trust us? We might be too religious for them. Huh, you never thought of that, us? Well, listen, folks, you just don't have any idea how unreligious some of those people out there laying in the streets and the gutters and homeless and helpless are. And if you go to church on Sunday, you look terribly religious. Now, you know better than that, don't you? And I know better than that. But you get that big old Bible. I brought this big one here just so you can see. You get this big old Bible and you stick it under your arm and you get your car keys out and you run outside. Oh, that's a religious guy going there. How religious. Is he the other side of the road religious? By the way, I hate to do this to you, but are you one of those other side of the road religious people? I hope not. I hope that the Lord Jesus can, you walk out your porch one morning and there's a guy. You don't know. I mean, it's probably the best guy in town, but there's something right here in your heart that says, that guy's enslaved. He's a slave to something. Maybe don't say a thing. Maybe it just says, sick him. Can he trust us? Now, let's just suppose he doesn't find any of us. But this old boy really needs help, and so Jesus just kind of pushes him in here one day. This lady really needs help, and he just pushes him in here. Can he trust us? Are we going to take care of him like he would? I want to make a declaration, and then we will close. I believe this. I really, really believe this. That when Jesus can trust new life, fellowship, when he can trust us, they're so thick out there, he'll just be bringing them in here all the time. saying to us, look, I've done everything needs to be done for him. You just keep on doing it. Right? You see, that's why we're here. Now, I want to make a declaration, and I want all of you to understand it. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you put your faith and trust in him and ask him to forgive you of all your sins and to blot out your sins and your transgressions with his blood. If you've done that, listen, that's as saved as you're ever going to get. I believe it. That's as saved as you're not going to get any more saved than that. So if all Jesus wanted to do was save you, that moment you said, all right, Jesus, I'm trusting you, whack, he'd have hit you on the head with his ball bat and took you to heaven. You'd be better off. Don't you know that? Heaven's so much better than this place here, even at its very best. Yeah, no matter how good it gets here, heaven's got it beat 100-fold. Then why'd he leave us here and not hit us on the head with his Wilson? Because there are people out there, and some of them he'll just push in here. Some of them we'll have to go get. But when we do, when we make that contact, it'll be our job to minister to that person, just like Jesus would. Now, I guess we better resolve this and quit. Can we? Can we do it just like Jesus would do it? Matthew, listen, this is a Baptist text right here. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. Listen. Jesus is saying this. All authority, now most King James and such reads all power, is given to me both in heaven and in earth. Well, now, yeah, I can understand earth, but boy, listen. You can't argue with heavenly power. Amen? I'm going to tell you why Jesus leaves you here so you can learn how to say amen. Okay? He's got the authority. He's got the power. And he can empower us. John 16, hey, I'm going away. But when I go, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to leave you unavailable and unable. You see, I'm going to give you another one. One just like me. The word is paraclete there, where we get our word parakeet. One just like me. And when he has come, hallelujah, I want you to hear this. Now, I promise you I'm going to quit sometime or another. Listen. We are filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, and there's not anything we can't do. That power is mine. I'll give it to you. And using it, whew, I'll run this little oral test by you. Do you remember the last time you saw someone saved? Invited Jesus to come into their heart. I believe the boy's name was Noah a couple of Sundays ago. That invited Jesus to come into his heart. Changed totally and completely. And still changing. Now, I said he's still changing because I want you to understand something. So are you. You're growing in the Lord every day. If you're not, you're backsliding. I hate to say that about you. But you're growing in the Lord every day, more like Jesus. That's what he wants you to be, more like him and more like him. And one day, you'll take your final step of faith and you'll step off of planet Earth and you'll step right into heaven itself. And there God will show you what He has all along been trying to design you and make you. Oh, don't miss that. Be everything that Jesus wants you to be, that He saved you to be, that God had a plan for you, okay? So, I want to ask you to respond a little different today in the invitation than ordinarily. First of all, I want you to stand.